Welcome to Block Talks, your daily microdose of health and Bitcoin. These podcasts are approximately 10 minutes, which is the amount of time it takes to add a block to the Bitcoin ledger. This block is sponsored by Finney21.com, and I hope it's informative and helpful for you. This is how I study Bitcoin and health, and recording them is a way to pass this knowledge on to friends, family, and in particular, to pass the knowledge on to my daughter when she's ready to learn about Bitcoin and health. If you have a perspective to share or questions about anything that I'm saying in this block, please use Nosser to comment on this block, or you can DM me. And if you got value from this, please consider zapping this block on Nosser. If you don't know what Nosser is, listen to episode 3. It's a primer on Nosser. It's worth a listen if you care about free speech and truth, and if you want to connect. So today is Money 101. 12 really important things you need to know about money so that you can choose money that protects your time and avoid money that steals it. Bitcoin block height is 877,525. Network hash rate is sitting at 942 exahashes per second. Moscow time is 1,035. Let's get into it. So, money is a tool used for trade, fundamentally. It's a tool that we use to store our time and energy so that we can trade our time and energy for things that we want in future, right? We don't actually want money itself. We want the things that money will provide us in future. I think if you're like me, you use money every day. I think most people use money every day. And a lot of us will spend 100,000 hours of our lives working for money, but there's not a lot of people that spend any time learning about money. And I think that's a really big, it creates a big vulnerability, right? Because if you understand how money works, it allows you to choose good money that serves you instead of bad money that steals from you. And that might sound like obvious, like, well, what kind of money steals from us? And the reality is most people don't understand that the currency they're using is stealing their time gradually, but exponentially now. So by the end of this, instead of listening to me say what the best form of money is, you can make a decision for yourself because you'll understand which things to evaluate when it comes to money and make your own judgment of that. So the goal is not to tell you that Bitcoin is the best money. That's my opinion, but I want you to understand from first principles what makes good money and bad money, and then be able to make an evaluation for yourself. And by understanding money, like I said, you become empowered to choose the best form of money to store your time in. So this block is 101, meaning it's a really broad overview. I'm going to talk about two principles of money, three functions of money, and seven important properties of money. So these 12 things. You know, if you can study 12 simple things to really get a broad overview of money, these are them. And I hope this block is helpful to give you kind of a crash course into important elements related to understanding money. I'm going to record an entire block on each of these principles, functions, and properties. So 12 individual blocks will be done to go deeper into each of these. Today, I'm just going to introduce it very superficially, and then we'll explore them deeper in future block talks. So let's start with two principles of money that I think are important to understand. The first one is that money monopolizes and trends to a single winner, meaning that money is kind of a winner-takes-all game. And, you know, an easy example to see why networks converge to one is, you know, we only need one information network for the planet, right? We only have one internet. And the reason we only have one internet is because if we had 20 internets, it would be hard to find other people. So we have one network that serves the world, and there's a benefit to that. And that's why money is a winner-takes-all game, because the dominant network wins. Everyone wants to join the best network, right? No one cares about the 50 intranets, like private internets that companies use. They care about the internet, because that's where we can find a web page of someone on the other side of the planet without needing to know them. So money monopolizes, and just like we only need one information network, we only need one monetary network. So it's very important to know that. If money is a winner-takes-all game and the best money wins, then if you can objectively evaluate the best money, you can know that that's the money that's going to win and it's going to increase in value relative to everything else. So that's principle number one, money monopolizes. Principle number two is that there is an adoption order that money goes through in terms of functions. So we're going to talk about the three functions of money next. But this principle is really just knowing that there is a very specific order in which these functions are adopted when a new money is created. And we're still in the first inning of these three. So there's a long way to go. We're early in Bitcoin. And I guess not even talking about Bitcoin specifically, there's three functions of money, and there's a sequence through which money is adopted. That's very specific. So principles of money, money monopolizes, and there is a specific adoption order when we move through the functions of money. Let's talk about the functions of money next. Really, the functions of money describes the things that money needs to be able to do. Number one, a store of value, a way to store our time and energy over the long term without it being diluted. Okay, so the first function of money, the most important one, I would argue, the one that needs to happen first in order for us to move through the other functions, is store of value. Second function of money is unit or medium of exchange. Medium of exchange is really just saying that money is something that we can use as a medium, as a tool to exchange value with others. So it needs to be able to store time long-term without losing its value. It needs to be able to be a medium that we can use to exchange with others so that we can trade. And then the third function is called the unit of account, meaning that a good money can serve as an accurate measuring stick for value, right? So right now, if you use the US dollar as your unit of account, if someone comes up to you and says, hey, you own a house, how much is your house worth? And you say, $600,000 or $600,000, you're using the dollar as a measuring stick for value. You're using the dollar as your unit of account. So three functions of money: store of value, medium of exchange, and unit of account. And the order through which monies must go through when they're being adopted is they must first be a store of value, so people accumulate it because it preserves their time and energy. Then it moves into becoming a medium of exchange, because when these people have stored their value in this thing, eventually they're going to want to spend that money on something, right? We don't want money. We want what money is going to acquire us in future. Therefore, the point of having money is to one day spend it on things that you need, like food or shelter or a home or whatever it might be. So store of value, which then becomes a medium of exchange. And when enough people are using it for a medium of exchange, it becomes the unit of account. It becomes the measuring stick with which we all use as a common ground and a common language to measure the value of something. And yeah, won't go any deeper than that. Those are the three functions of money. I only got 3.5 minutes left, so this will be a power. I'll be powering through these properties and go deeper into them in future blocks. So there's seven important properties when it comes to money. The first one I'm going to say is the most important. So if money isn't satisfying this first property, all the other ones don't matter. The seven properties of money are scarcity. Something has to be in limited supply in order to be good money. Apples aren't good money because we can make as many apples as we want. So it has to be scarce, has to be divisible, right? You should be able to take a dollar and break it down to 100 cents, or take $1 billion, divide it down into dollars. So it must be divisible, it has to be durable. Apples aren't good money because they rot over time, has to be able to last a long period of time. They need to be portable. I got to be able to bring it around with me. A cow isn't good money because I can't put a piece of cow in my pocket to pay for something with it. So far we've got scarce, divisible, durable, portable. Okay, next one is fungible. All this means is that units of the same value should be interchangeable. Should be able to take a $10 bill and give it to someone else and receive a $10 bill, and they're worth the same thing. So that's fungible. The sixth one is verifiable. Should be easy to identify and verify this money as being authentic. And the last one is transferable. Okay, good money is easily transferred between people. That's what facilitates exchange and trade. So let's go from the top. Two principles of money. Number one, money monopolizes. Number two, there's an adoption order where money goes through store of value, medium of exchange, and then unit of account over time as it's adopted. Three functions of money: store of value, medium of exchange, and unit of account. The seven important properties of money are: number one, scarcity. If something isn't scarce, it's de facto not good money. The other ones don't matter if it's not scarce. That's the most important one. Scarcity, divisibility, durability, portability, fungibility, verifiability, and transferability. So in order for something to be good money, it needs to be scarce. We need to be able to divide it. It needs to be durable enough to not rot or fall apart over time. It needs to be portable so we can transport it with us. It needs to be fungible so we can exchange it for units of the same value and they're worth the same thing. We need to be able to easily identify and verify it. So that's verifiable. And we need to be able to easily transfer it from one to another. Okay, so scarcity, divisibility, durability, portability, fungibility, verifiability, and transferability. Now that you know all those things, you can begin your rabbit hole excursion into understanding, okay, well, what do all those things mean? How do they relate to me? And what are the different monies out there that I can then choose from based on how they satisfy these characteristics? So this may have been review for you, or maybe this is the first time you're ever learning about these things relating to money. Either way, thanks for listening. Thanks for supporting Block Talks. Stay focused, stack health, stack sats, and vote with your node. Share this with others if you think it's helpful. Zap this block on Nostr if you got value, and you can also DM me on Nostr if you want to propose a topic or sponsor a block. I will catch you next time.